Right, so my name's Mike Smith, and I'm actually a lecturer in GIS at Kingston University. And some of my work has been geomorphologically based and looking at surface roughness with more of an interest on paleoglacial landscapes. So obviously, there's quite a lot of overlap with geological work. My colleagues are from the University of Sao Paulo, Carlos and Claudio. Carlos is a PhD student there who was on a funded scholarship to the UK. What I want to report upon here is some methods for the evaluation of surface roughness from digital elevation models. And I want to introduce you to some of the principal methods, aspects of scale and resolution in measuring surface roughness, and some recommendations for use. Yep. So roughness has been used in a whole variety of different scenarios. I'm sure people can think of a variety in their own areas. Just to highlight three fairly randomly. Landslide age relationships, looking at denudation over time and being able to delimit different age relationships for landslide units. Topography is a component in species habitation, looking at how surface roughness can affect how species inhabit new areas. Also impacts upon basal sliding of glaciers, both fairly small surface roughness features on the order of millimetres up to fairly large surface roughness features in terms of ice sheets over orders of hundreds of metres or kilometres. So this project has reviewed and compared three primary methods for calculating surface roughness. Intuitively, we can think of surface roughness as being smooth, and water, I think, is quite a nice way of showing that, or rough in the sense of a sea surface like that. And in terms of remotely sensed inputs, we're either talking about using electromagnetic radiation directly or using elevation values that have been derived from some process. We've been particularly interested in surface roughness from elevation data, and the way we have defined surface roughness is as variability in elevation, and the given constraint there is that it's at some kind of given scale. Okay, so some methods, and there have been a whole variety of methods for calculating surface roughness, going back to some landmark summaries in the early 70s. Calculating fractal dimensions, looking at variograms and doing some geostatistical modelling, Fourier analysis of surface data, some kind of deviation of values, some kind of standard deviation often, looking at ratios of area values. This is kind of a general term covering a whole variety of different techniques for looking at electromagnetic radiation data. In terms of planetary science, a nice example would be something like photoclinometry. Looking at vector orientations and analysing contours and using contour-based methods. So there's been a lot of techniques over the years, and as a result there are a variety of input and output data sets that you can have. So in terms of data inputs, we've got two-dimensional inputs, things like digital elevation models or satellite imagery, and they obviously provide a global overview. They cover an entire region or a study area that you're looking at. In terms of other data inputs, we've got one-dimensional ones, and the obvious example here are elevation profiles, either from something like a LIDAR profiler or a radar profiler. Outputs, similarly, can be two-dimensional, where you produce some kind of map of surface roughness, so again, two-dimensional. Or you could just produce tabular data and some kind of summary statistics, trying to evaluate what the roughness of a surface is. For this work, we wanted data inputs that were two-dimensional and two-dimensional roughness maps that we could output from our work. So we've selected area ratio, which I'm going to briefly introduce now, area ratio, vector dispersion, and standard deviation of elevation. Okay, so area ratio, it's often referred to as rugosity, and it's the calculation of the surface area to the plan form area. So you have a simple ratio of your surface area to your plan form area. So you have two end members in that, where you have a flat terrain where the values trend to one, so your surface area equals your plan form area. If you've got a rough or irregular surface, then the real area will just gradually increase, and that will trend towards infinity. Vector orientation. Here we have some kind of regularly spaced set of elevation points. We can turn that into a series of triangular facets and then calculate the vectors from those facets that are normal to the surface. If you have smooth terrain, then you have very high vector strength in that your vectors are clustered and therefore you have low dispersion. If you've got rough terrain, then you have very high dispersion and they're not clustered at all. The final technique we were looking at was the standard deviation of elevation. This measures our variability of our elevation values, and two broad techniques have generally been used in studies. One is just to look at the standard deviation of values within a window or a kernel. The other is to fit some kind of best fit plane to a series of data points and then look at deviation from that best fit plane. We've been using this first method here. Okay, so our methodology, we compared our three methods at a variety of different scales and at a variety of different DEM resolutions. Our input DEM is Intermap's NextMap Great Britain product, which is an interferometric SAR digital elevation model at 5 metres. And our study area, singular, is the Midland Valley in Scotland. Here's just some relief shaded images of this study area. So we've got Glasgow in here, Loch Lomond, this is the Clyde coming in. And we were focused on this area in here, which we see here. This was chosen because it's got quite a mixture of scales of relief. We've got the Campsie Fells here, Kirkpatrick Hills. These have a relief of around 500 metres, obviously dissected by some rivers here. So we've got regional scale relief in here, or regional scale roughness. You can see just about forestry on the surface here. We've got small town in here, small town in here. So there are buildings on the surface as well. So we've got fairly small features which add surface roughness to this area as well. So we've got different scales of roughness in this image. Okay, our methodology, we had 5 input resolutions, the raw or the original 5 metre data. We also resampled that to 10, 25, 50 and 100 metre data. We also had 12 different input scales based upon the kernel size that we were running the algorithms at, ranging from a standard 3x3 kernel all the way up to 51x51, which gave us a total of 5 resolutions, 12 kernel sizes, 3 different methods for 180 different model runs. This just shows one model run. This is the 5 metre data using a 7x7 kernel for our 3 methods, area ratio, vector dispersion, standard deviation of elevation. It's worth noting, first of all, that the scales aren't comparable because they're calculating different things. So it's relative within each of those output results. You can immediately see that our vector dispersion is picking up lots and lots of surface roughness across the valley here. And we can see with the other two methods, area ratio and standard deviation, that they're outlining the principal breaks in slope. What I want to switch to now, is not that, it's that. We have actually produced animations of all 180 models. I'm not going to show them all, though. You'll be pleased to know. This is the area ratio method at 10 metres using a 3x3 window. And this will cycle through all 12 kernel sizes. Do that again. What's noticeable about the area ratio here is that in general the result isn't changing much. Yes, it's getting more blurred as the window sizes increase, but the actual result is broadly the same across scales there. Right, if I go down to show this is the vector dispersion for the 10 meter resolution data again. If I run that again, you can see again it's picking out the local small scale roughness features in the valleys, and that aggregates together as we get to larger and larger window sizes, so that the roughness the high roughness areas dominate the image. And then finally, the standard deviation of elevation. Seems to be going slower for some reason. What we're seeing here is, again, it's picking out the regional relief quite well, but we are getting differences coming in at different window sizes. Right, some general summaries of those. Area ratio, the first thing to note is that uniform steep slopes are calculated as high roughness. So if you've got an inclined plane like that, which is actually planar, it calculates as a high roughness value, which is wrong. What you expect to see is that slopes that are planar is that they have low roughness, and the area ratio won't do that. Okay, the broad pattern, as I mentioned earlier, doesn't change across scales and resolutions, and in general the result is scale independent, so that coarse DEMs should give the same result as fairly high resolution DEMs. So that's quite a useful and important result to know. Vector dispersion is very, very sensitive to local roughness variations. Uniform smooth slopes do have low vector dispersion, so this is calculating smooth slopes correctly. Again, if that's important for whatever you're studying, then that's a good result to know. However, we are seeing the aggregation of the real extent of roughness areas as we go to coarser resolutions and larger window sizes. In general, then, it's scale dependent. It doesn't identify regional roughness features particularly well. But because it works well at local scales, it could potentially be useful as a technique for removing surface clutter, things like trees and buildings, from DEMs. Standard deviation of elevation. We see an increase in roughness as the resolution and window sizes increase, and it generally is scale independent. It doesn't identify regional relief quite well, and quite usefully, it's also very, very simple to calculate. So some conclusions. Vector dispersion suited to the identification of local roughness. Identification of uniform slopes performs poorly, though, at large scales and window sizes. Area ratio is scale invariant, ideal for application with coarse resolution data. And I think we'll find that use with SRTM would actually be very, very useful here, because in general the result at 90 meter data should be the same as using much higher resolution data. But it's not very good for differentiating multi-scale roughness features. We feel that the standard deviation of elevation is the best overall method. It is able to identify multi-scale roughness features. It effectively identified regional relief, and it's very, very simple to calculate. There's some references. The This work was performed in GRASS, and all of the scripts we've used are available online. Thank you very much.